Welcome back to the show. Before we say anything else, before we even get into what we're talking about today, I just want to invite you to take a breath. Just a real grounded breath. You know, if you're driving between client sessions right now, or maybe you're sitting in your treatment room prepping.
Wiping down the table.
Exactly. Just for a second, feel your feet on the floor.
It's so important to reset, especially with what we're covering today. We talk so much about holding space for our clients, but we rarely take that pause for ourselves before we start taking in information.
We really don't. And today is a little different. We aren't just, analyzing a trend or looking at some new study. We're treating this as a podcast lesson. We're speaking directly to you, the healers, the energy workers, the practitioners listening. We know that so many of you are constantly giving, constantly outputting energy. You're the battery that everyone plugs into.
Oh, absolutely. And we all know even the best batteries lose their voltage if they aren't recharged properly. We talk a lot about energetic hygiene, smudging, salt baths, all that.
Basically.
The basics, yeah. But sometimes you need more than just a general wash. Sometimes you really need a precision instrument. And I think that's what we're looking at today.
It is. We are looking at a very, very specific high-frequency modality. It's called the Deep Violet Blue Treasure Technique. And I have to say, just reading the course material for this, it has a vibe. It's really distinct. It's not your typical warm and fuzzy healing energy.
It is so distinct. You know, a lot of the modalities we work with, they feel like warmth or golden light or flowing water. They're very nurturing, kind of in a solar way.
Right.
This is different. This has a temperature. It's cool. It's crisp.
Yes. It feels like stepping out onto a balcony in the middle of a snowy night. Deep violets, deep blues. And our intention for today is really simple. We want to introduce you to this frequency.
Yeah.
We want to help you understand why this specific treasure is such a game changer for the third eye and how you can actually use it to navigate that burnout that we all feel.
And we should probably clarify, when we say treasure, we're not just using a buzzword. The course material is very specific about why that word is used.
Ooh, interesting.
It's about value and density and richness.
Yeah.
This isn't just a fleeting feeling, it's an actual energetic asset.
An asset. I like that. So let's get into the why. Because, look, if you're a practitioner, you probably already have a packed toolkit. You have Reiki, you have therapeutic touch, crystals.
Right. Why do I need another thing?
Exactly. Why do we need another frequency? Why should we care about this one?
That is the question I always ask myself when I see a new course or a new attunement. Is this just a repackaged version of something I already do? And the answer here, I think, is specificity.
Okay.
As holistic practitioners, we know that different frequencies do different jobs. You wouldn't use a hammer to tighten a screw. And in the same way, you don't use a grounding earth frequency when you're trying to do precision work on the upper chakras.
Right. And the Deep Violet Blue Treasure isn't for general relaxation. I mean, it's relaxing, sure, but it's relaxing in the way that clarity is relaxing.
Yes.
But the course material really highlights that this is a precision tool for the third eye. It's for accessing that ancient, almost forgotten wisdom.
And I think that's where the healer burnout piece comes in. We get tired not just because we're physically working, standing over a table or sitting and listening, but because we are constantly processing intuition through a filter that just gets clogged. You see clients back to back, you absorb their stories, their trauma, their energetic debris.
The mental fog. Oh, it's that feeling at like 4 p.m. where you just cannot make one more decision.
Precisely, the mental fog. And what I love about this technique, both from the course descriptions and from, my own experience with it, is that it's designed to cut through that fog. It's not just pouring water on it. It's more like a laser.
Oh, interesting.
It just clears away all those low-frequency energies that cloud our inner vision.
I actually used this yesterday, but before a session.
Yeah.
I know we usually just talk about the theory, but I sat down and I initiated the frequency just to see. And cool and crisp is the only way to describe it.
Right.
It felt like I had just engaged a different gear in my brain. It wasn't that sleepy drift-away meditation. It was alert.
That alertness is the key. It's the difference between sleep and clarity. And that brings us to the source of the frequency. The course connects this energy to a very specific and I often overlooked figure in Norse mythology,
The goddess air.
the goddess Air.
And before anyone tunes out thinking, oh, I don't work with deities or I'm not in the whole Thor and Odin thing, just hold on.
Right, the battlefield chaos.
Yes, because air is She's different. She's not part of that at all.
She is very different. And understanding her energy is crucial to understanding why this technique feels the way it does. The whole vibe is Scandinavian. It's ancient forests, it's twilight skies, and what the course calls ethereal jewels.
It's so atmospheric.
Yeah.
It's not a temple in the tropics with incense burning. It's a pine forest in the snow, fresh air.
And that brings a very specific kind of silence, doesn't it? The kind of silence that lets you actually hear your own intuition again.
Okay, so let's unpack that energetic signature.
Mm-hmm.
Because the visuals in the course are fascinating.
They really are.
Usually when we talk about energy healing, we visualize, you know, beams of white light or soft mists.
No, we mean fire.
Right. But this, the course describes it as clusters of stones.
Yes. Ethereal jewels.
Nice.
Gems in deep blue and deep violet. This is a really important distinction for any of you who are visualizers.
So why stones? Why jewels? It feels so solid compared to what we usually work with.
Well, think about the properties of a gemstone versus a mist. A mist is diffuse, right? It permeates. It's soft. It's great for soothing.
Mm-hmm.
But a gemstone has structure. It has facets. It has density. It has a specific refractive index.
It has weight.
Exactly. It has substance. When the course describes the energy as a thick, sparkling ray, it's telling us that this frequency has enough density to actually move things. It's not just washing over the surface.
It's scrubbing.
It's scrubbing. That's a great word for it.
I love that image, scrubbing the inner vision.
Okay.
Some days, my inner vision feels like a windshield that hasn't been cleaned in a month.
That is exactly what it is. The target area is the third eye, Ajna. And the mechanism is clearing away low-frequency energies. So if you imagine your third eye is like a lens, which is a really common analogy, after a week of clients, that lens is covered in fingerprints and dust and smudges.
And maybe some mud from that really heavy session on Tuesday where the client was processing deep grief.
Right, that sticky energy that clings. A soft white light might gently warm that lens, maybe comfort it, but this deep violet blue energy, because it has that gem-like cluster of stones quality, it acts like a prism or a diamond cutter.
Wow.
It scrapes away the debris, it's refractive, it breaks up the stagnation.
It reminds me of how diamonds are used in industrial cutting. You know, they're the hardest substance. They cut through the noise.
That is a beautiful analogy. And for a practitioner, that difference is palpable. We're talking about a sensation that actually has texture. The course mentions living gemstones.
It's not cold dead rock.
No, not at all. It's vibrant, pulsating, crystallized light. It feels alive against the forehead.
And the colors here, deep violet and blue. I mean, we know from color therapy, those are the colors of the upper chakras. Indigo, violet. But adding that word deep, it feels grounding, even though it's a high frequency.
It anchors it. That's the perfect word. It anchors the high frequency. Because sometimes when people work with the third eye, they get really ungrounded. They get spacey. You know that feeling?
I think the bliss bunny syndrome.
Exactly. Yeah. Where you're no earthly good to anyone because you're just floating in the astral. But deep violet, that's the color of the night sky. It's vast, but it holds you. It's not a blinding white light that dissolves you. It's a deep, rich darkness that actually reveals the stars. It provides a container for the work.
And that's where the intuition part comes in. The course says this energy heightens your intuition and enhances personal power. But it frames it in a really interesting way. It says it feels like remembering rather than learning.
And that is such a profound distinction for us to make as, you know, lifelong students of these arts. Learning implies you're acquiring something from the outside that you didn't have before.
I'm reading a book to get data.
Right. I'm learning new technique. But remembering implies it was already inside you. It was just dormant, covered up by the noise of daily life.
The course mentions specifically that it might inspire you to explore things like herbalism or gemstones. Like you might suddenly get this pull to pick up a book on herbs you haven't touched in 10 years.
Or you're walking in nature and you suddenly know what a plant is for. Not because you studied it, but because that connection has just been reestablished.
All right.
That's the deep violet blue clearing the channel. The information is in the ether or in your DNA or however you want to frame it. The treasure is just the key that unlocks that file cabinet.
I actually experienced that a little when I tried it. I had this sudden, really clear thought about a specific crystal lapis lazuli, which I never use.
Oh, interesting.
I don't even think I own one right now.
Oh.
And I just thought, I need to put that on my desk. It was so random, but it felt like a nudge.
And that's the aha moment the course talks about. It's not a booming voice from the heavens. It's a nudge. It's a sudden clarity. Oh, this client needs sage. oh, I need to drink more water.
Yes.
It connects you to the old ways by just removing the static of the new ways, the emails, the notifications, the traffic.
It cuts through the indecision.
Yes. Indecision is usually just noise, isn't it? It's just the clutter on the lens. Once you scrub the lens with the deep violet blue treasure, the choice just becomes obvious.
Okay, so let's move into the archetype behind this energy, the goddess Air.
The goddess Air, a fascinating figure.
I feel like Norse mythology has been totally hijacked by pop culture.
Oh, for sure.
When we think Norse, we think Marvel movies.
Yeah.
We think huge guys with hammers, lightning wars, Ragnarok.
Lots of shouting, beards, beer, and battles.
So much shouting.
Yeah.
But the course paints a completely different picture of the Norse pantheon through Air. And honestly, for those of us who have worked with Norse energies, we know there's a much softer, more mystical side.
Absolutely. The course really focuses on the energetic reality of Air. She is the gentle figure. Mm-hmm. She's not a warrior in the traditional sense. She is a goddess of peace, care, and restoration.
There's a line in the text that says she is whispered rather than shouted. I love that. It stood out to me immediately because we live in such a loud world.
It's so powerful. In a world, both the ancient Viking world and our modern world, that values loudness and force and domination, Air represents the silent strength.
Mm.
She's the one who tends to the wounds after the battle. She's the sustainability of the culture.
And the course is clear. She isn't a Valkyrie of death. I know there's some academic debate about that, but in this energy system, she is strictly a restorer. She brings life back when it seems lost.
That distinction is so vital for us as healers. We aren't here to usher people into endings. We're here to facilitate new beginnings, recoveries. Air represents the clinical side of the divine, if you will.
The skilled hand.
The skilled hands. The precise knowledge of which root stops the bleeding. She's the chief physician of the gods.
There's a specific location mentioned in the course that really captured my imagination. Leifjallberg. The Hill of Healing.
Leifjallberg, yes.
Yeah.
It's described as this high mountain where pilgrims would go to seek relief.
And it sounds like such a trek. But the symbolism there for the modern healer is just huge.
It is. The idea is that healing is a noble and sacred pursuit. It's not something you find in the bargain bin. You have to climb the hill. You have to make the effort to elevate your own consciousness to reach that clear air.
And the air at the top of a mountain. It's thinner, it's colder, it's clearer. It just perfectly matches that deep violet blue frequency we were talking about.
Exactly. When you tap into this energy, you are energetically climbing Leifjallberg. You're stepping out of the mud and the noise of the village below, and you're standing on that peak where the air is pure. And that is where perspective shifts.
It changes your viewpoint.
Yeah.
When you're in the mud, all you see is mud.
Right.
But when you're on the mountain, you see the horizon. You see where the storm is coming from and where it's going.
And you see the patterns. That's what the third eye does. It sees patterns. That is what diagnosis really is, right? Pattern recognition.
The tools of Air that are mentioned in the course are also very grounded. Roots, leaves, flowers, and healing songs sung over wounds.
It really emphasizes that the holistic approach is not new. It's ancient. We often think we're inventing integrative medicine. The ancients didn't have a separation between body and spirit to begin with.
It was all one thing.
It was all one. The song healed the wound just as much as the poultice did. They understood vibrational medicine.
And the pace.
Yeah.
The course describes the pace of this healing as steady and mindful.
This is the practical takeaway for me. We live in a world of 15-minute appointments and instant relief and hack your biology. Air's energy is a reminder to slow down.
That's so hard to do, especially when clients want results now. They come in and they say, fix me. I have a meeting in an hour.
It is hard. But think about the most profound healing sessions you've ever had or given. Were they rushed?
Oh.
No. They happened in a space of suspended time. That's Air's influence. When you're struggling with a client who has a stubborn block or you're frustrated that a treatment isn't working fast enough, invoking this deep violet blue energy helps you drop into that steady and mindful rhythm. It helps you channel patience.
It's the patience of a mountain.
Correct. The mountain doesn't rush. The forest doesn't rush to grow. And true healing so often follows the rhythm of nature, not the rhythm of the stock market.
So we have the energy, this crisp, gem-like violet ray. We have the patron air, the gentle restorer. Now let's talk about where this takes us, the inner landscape.
This is where the course gets really beautiful, almost poetic. It describes the energy not just as a tool, but as a doorway to a spiritual world in the far north.
I really want to spend a moment on the sensory details here because the course is so evocative. It talks about the scent of pine, the memory of snow-covered branches, the hush of twilight skies.
And these aren't just pretty words. They're triggers for the subconscious. We know this from neuroscience, from years of guided meditation practice. Smell is the oldest sense, right? Connected directly to the limbic system.
Mm-hmm.
The scent of pine is clearing. It opens the lungs. It wakes up the brain. It just says fresh.
And the snow.
Snow creates silence. It dampens sound. If you've ever walked in a forest after a heavy snowfall, you know that heavy insulated silence. It feels like the world has stopped.
It creates a container of safety. The course mentions a soft mist gathering that creates that safety.
And safety is the prerequisite for all deep work. You cannot open your third eye if your nervous system is in fight or flight. You have to feel safe. And this visualization, this northern sanctuary, it provides a fortress of solitude where it's safe to look inward.
Now here's where it gets really interesting for me. The course uses the phrase fairy tale. It says, everyone has the right to enter their own story.
I love this concept.
But as adults, especially as professionals, we're told fairy tales are silly. They're escapism. They're for kids. We're supposed to deal in charts and insurance codes.
And that is a modern tragedy. Fairy tales are not escapism. They are the language of the soul. They're archetypal.
Carl Jung knew this.
He absolutely knew this. The ancients knew this. When the course invites you into a personal fairy tale, it's inviting you to bypass the critical analytical mind, that part of you that worries about taxes and schedules, and enter the realm of the superconscious.
The realm of symbols.
Yes. In this realm, the trees are silvered, the light flickers, you hear the songs of the old ones. This isn't hallucination, it's active imagination. It's a valid, potent psychological tool. It lets you access data that your logical mind just filters out.
So how do we use this practically? Let's say I'm a practitioner and I'm stuck. I have a client with a complex set of symptoms, or I'm writing a workshop and I have writer's block.
You use this landscape as a conference room.
Oh, I like that.
You don't just go there to blank out or escape your reality. You go there to ask. You enter this inner forest, you walk on the moss, and you present your problem to the silence.
Creative problem solving.
Absolutely. Einstein did this. Edison did this. They would drift into these liminal states to catch ideas. You enter the deep violet blue forest and you ask, what does this client need? And because you've quieted the noise and engaged your intuitive center, the answer just bubbles up. Maybe it appears as a symbol. Maybe you see a specific flower. Maybe you just know.
That completely reframes fantasy into functional visualization.
Totally. It's a workspace. It just happens to be a very beautiful, smeary, pine-scented workspace.
Okay. But now let's get into the weeds. Practical integration for the modern practitioner.
Yes.
Because if we can't use this on a Tuesday afternoon when the HVAC is broken and a client is late, it's just a nice hobby.
Agreed. The value of any modality is in its application under stress.
So let's look at some scenarios. Scenario A, between clients. You know the drill. You just finished a session with someone who was grieving or really angry or just energetically heavy.
Yep.
You have 10 minutes before the next person walks in.
This is the classic turnover problem. You are still vibrating with the last client's stuff. And if you don't clear it, the next client gets a diluted version of you. Or worse, they pick up on the residue and start feeling anxious, and they don't know why.
So why is this technique good for that 10-minute gap? Why not just wash your hands and drink some water?
Because of the density. The thick quality of the deep violet-blue energy. It's heavy enough to displace the lingering energy of the previous client. It's a hard reset.
Ah.
Water washes your skin. This washes your aura.
It's like a palate cleanser.
A very strong sorbet, yes. A quick 5-minute version of this. Call the treasure. Feel the scrub. Anchor in the heart. It creates a clean slate. You're not dragging client A's grief into client B's back pain. You are starting fresh.
You're honoring both clients.
Exactly, by giving them your full, clean presence.
Okay, scenario B, deepening intuition. The dry spell.
Oh, we all go through this. You feel blocked. You feel like your intuition is just static. You're second-guessing every hit you get. Is this intuition or is this just my imagination?
The course says this specific frequency acts as a lubricant for the third eye.
Lubricant is a great word. Sometimes the third eye gets dry and crusty from overuse or stress or from trying too hard. This energy brings flow back. If you are feeling blind energetically, you just dedicate a longer session, maybe 20 minutes, to sitting in that forest. Mm-hmm. You don't ask for anything. You just let the jewels swirl. It hydrates your spiritual vision.
Scenario C, expanding modalities. We touched on this, but let's go deeper. The audit.
Yes. The course mentions the pull toward herbalism or gemstones. I think every practitioner should do an audit of their practice at least once a year. Are you bored? Are you going through the motions?
Or are you reciting the same scripts to every client?
Right. If you are, maybe you need new elements. Use this meditation to ask what is missing from my practice. Maybe air whispers sound. Maybe she shows you an image of a drum or a specific flower essence. You use the deep violet blue to perform a diagnostic on your own career.
That is super valuable. It keeps things fresh. It stops stagnation.
It keeps you engaged. And if you're engaged, your clients get better results. They know when you're bored. They feel it. When you're excited about your tools, that excitement is healing in itself.
We also need to talk about the silent strength of the healer. This really mirrors air's nature.
Whispered rather than shouted.
In a marketing-obsessed world, we feel like we have to be loud. Look at me. I can heal you. I have the power. Buy my course. Look at my Instagram.
That's ego. That's not air. And honestly, it's exhausting. It is exhausting to maintain that facade.
So what's the alternative?
The alternative is kindness meeting skill. That's the definition of true healing from the course material. It's not about fireworks. It's about being so grounded, so clear, and so compassionate that the client feels safe the moment they walk in your door.
Presence.
Presence. You use the deep violet blue treasure to cultivate a presence of peace. You become the mountain. You don't have to shout, I am a mountain. You just sit there being a mountain and people naturally lean on you.
That takes the pressure off.
It takes so much pressure off. You don't have to fix everyone. You just have to hold the space with that crystalline clarity. You create the environment where they can heal themselves. You're just the clean mirror reflecting their own light back to them.
I think that's the biggest takeaway for me. The permission to be quiet. The permission to be deep rather than broad.
Deep violet, deep blue, it's all in the name. Depth over breadth.
So let's synthesize this. We've covered a lot today in this lesson.
We really have.
We have a specific frequency, a treasure from the north. We have a guide air. They target the third eye. And we have a destination, the hill of healing.
It's a complete package. It connects the mind, the vision, to the heart, healing, to the earth, the mountain. It balances the upper and lower centers.
And it's a tool. It's not a religion. It's not a lifestyle you have to commit to 24/7.
Yeah.
It's a treasure you pull out of your pocket when you need clarity.
Precisely. It's there when the fog rolls in. It's your fog light.
I want to leave our listeners with a provocative thought, something that really struck me from the course material.
Go for it.
The idea that we are remembering our own medicine.
Yes. That really resonates.
So here is my challenge to you, the listener.
Yeah.
What ancient skill, what knowledge, what medicine is currently dormant in your DNA right now?
Mm-hmm.
What is sleeping inside you waiting for this specific violet blue frequency to wake it up?
Is it a song? Is it a way of touching the shoulder that releases tension instantly? Is it a knowledge of roots?
Is it a way of listening that you've forgotten you know how to do?
It's in there. The treasure isn't the energy itself. The energy is the map. The treasure is what you find when you get there. The treasure is you, restored.
That's it. That's the lesson.
Trust the sparkling ray. Trust the soft moss.
Go climb the hill.
And breathe the clear air.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast lesson. We hope this adds a beautiful, cool, crisp facet to your healing practice.
You will.
We'll see you next time.